Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Thursday, and this is Maria DiGiovanni, and we have a special, special show today that I am very, very excited about, because we are introducing a new show to Soul Sister Radio and to our new calendar. So I would like to introduce to you the host of your new show called The Advocate with Miss Susan Schinziger. Please tell me I said it right.
That's a good time, Marie.
Okay,
it's Schinziger.
There we go. And I just wanted to share a little bit about Susie with our audience. And we had you on the show, was it last week? It feels like it was for forever. But I just wanted to share a little bit about Susan with our audience. And again, welcome back, Susan. I'm really excited to have you on the show. Susan is the author of 3 amazing books. She's an RN, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she wants to introduce this show to the audience. And I'm going to let you do that now, Susan, and why this show is so important to you and why you're going to be naming it The Advocate.
Absolutely. This is just something I'm so passionate about, women and men, children, believers, unbelievers, people who have struggled with domestic violence, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse, any kind of abuse that puts your soul in bondage and causes you to either physically in the fetal position or mentally where you're stuck and cannot move forward in life. The Advocate came about actually years ago when I was living in Iowa, and I had taken a training to be an advocate against domestic violence. And actually, the man who's going to be on the show in a little while, Mr. Charles Johnson, pointed out to me in a photo that I have where I was on the front page of a newspaper and the heading was The Advocate. And it's a photo of me with a microphone as I'm in training and I'm asking the police force questions as I was doing the training. And in this series of events in my life, I had been on the front lines as a paramedic, as a nurse, as a rape advocate, with the victims and the perpetrators, and realizing I was also once a victim. And I had to become empty for the Lord to be able to be who I am today. That means being empty is I had to get rid of all of my past hurts and let God fill that void so that I could be His tool to be used for all of mankind. And so I put myself out there, very vulnerable, a place to be when you write about things in your life and you have a place where people can judge you, look at what you said. And it's okay, because that girl who went through the abuse, me, years ago, and still some in my years now, is a different person because I allowed God to heal me. And so as an advocate, I'm an advocate for the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost, which allows me to be an advocate for domestic violence. And I think, Maria, you would agree with that.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to introduce the name of the book that we talked about on the show last week, and it is your newest book, and it just was released when? Please clarify that with me. It just came out not so long ago,
yes.
Correct?
Yes, the book was published in September, and it was delivered to me on October 5th. It debuted the first time at the JW Marriott with an event for Domestic Violence Month at for Safe Passage. Safe Passage is an organization, charity started by Trish Steele almost 13 years ago, and it's a place where women are transformed from the abused woman into a victorious woman, inside and out. Restoration for any physical defects that have happened because of the abuse. But most of all, they're healed and can move on in life and become successful in life. And their children also can get counseling and help. This is not for people that are in the abusive relationship. It's for once they're out of the abusive relationship. So the book came out, and I did a book signing at the JW Marriott at that event. And that's where I met Charles Eric Johnson, who is going to be on our show today. And he also bought all three of my books, which was just such an honor, because to really get to know someone in their writing, it's a journey, and my life is a journey. So he took the liberty to buy the first two books and also my third book.
I'm excited because I also met this gentleman because I was your guest that night, and thank you so much, because it's really amazing, and the testimony that we're leaving behind really is coming full circle for me, having you on the show and who you represent, because my mentor in life was mentored by Trish Steele. So, and I met her almost 13 years ago, this coming January. So it's really ironic that we're all partnering together and we're locking arms and moving forward. And I want you to share with our audience about our guests, because that evening I was in a lot of pain, if you remember, and he was across from me to your right, and I'll never forget him. Because as he came up to me as he was leaving, he just placed his hand over my face and he said a prayer. And from that point forward, really, my face and everything is starting to get a lot better. So I want you to introduce this man, because I definitely think he was brought to you as a blessing. And I have a feeling he is going to share with our audience some amazing perspectives of your book, and especially your new one, which is called Journey to My Father's Palace. So why don't you introduce us to Charles?
Absolutely. On the line, we have Charles Eric Johnson, and he is a screenwriter, and he is an award-winning screenwriter, and I will let him tell more about himself. Do we have you on the line, Charles?
Yes, you do, Ms. Shingazar, and I'm proudly saying your name because I've mangled it so many times in my mind.
Yes, it's a mouthful.
But now I've gotten it right. You know, it's really a pleasure to be on this show because, you know, it's interesting the way God intertwines the lives of people. Not only did Trish Steele bring you people together, I met Trish in 1985 when I became sole custody of my son. And I went to their church for a while. I was, again, water baptized by her husband, Jim. And so it's full circle. And coming to the Safe Passage event and meeting you, Susan, face-to-face, and Maria, it was just a pleasure. I felt such a powerful force of electricity from the two of you, and not having said a word to Maria, I mean, it was just amazing, the energy, the love that was coming forth. And being a deacon, first and foremost, screenwriting is something secondary. You know, I've been in this business a long time. I've written and developed things for Jane Fonda, Robert Guillaume, I wrote a Christmas special for him, John Grimm's Christmas, Dabney Coleman, Alex Karras, Susan Clark, Patrick Wayne, Henry Silva, and you can go on, the list goes on. But I find that what God did is he brought me into that world so that I could have a voice. And the voice that I want to use now is the voice to uplift and help people. And, you know, I met you, I read your books, and they were a journey. And
which book did you read first, Charles?
Well, I read, at your suggestion, chronologically. I read
So you
Anointing
read
of
The
Mercy.
Anointing of Mercy, yes.
Yes. And I'm glad I did, because after I finished reading the book, I set it aside and was filled with warmth and a profound confirmation that the rulers of this natural world use unsaved nurses as pawns, allowing them to shun caring for the less than desirable street and homeless people, shoving them off on you, and you would go in and take their smelly clothes off, wash and clean them, talk to them and pray with them. And in reading that book, I was also able to see the way God was the cause and effect in your life as he began grooming you from an early age for your Christian walk and the path that you're now on. The way God is moving you, and I saw this clearly through your writings and in the beautiful pages that you created one after the other. You are destined to bring many people into his kingdom for his glory by your words, because when you write, as well as when you speak with God power. And your daily walk of being faithful and giving hope to the people in the hospital and the ones on the street, those are all divine appointments that you keep your eyes open to. And not only eyes in your head, the eyes of your soul, because of the way you were raised. When you walk out of the corridors of the hospital and into the streets, you bring light and joy with your voice and the essence of your love that you're projecting. These things reflect the joy of God, the Holy Spirit that you feel, and they allow people to feel hope. And in that, you are a mighty woman of God.
Wow. I'm so surprised that you have this vocabulary that has come from reading my books about me. And I'm just privileged to have such a fan of my works.
I don't know if it's
thank
a fan.
You
I think I became a slave because I couldn't get up and do anything. Every time I'd want to, I'd have to turn another page and another page and another page. Your writing is riveting.
Riveting. That is an amazing word, riveting. Now, please explain to me why you used that word, Charles.
Because I could not honestly get up and answer the phone, fix food, or anything. Because when Susan writes, it's a journey. It's not just words. For instance, I'll meet you at Wall Street and Winston and Wall Street Journal. That book is so beautifully etched with life's true moments. I could smell and feel the words, the sweat, and the needs of the characters. They compel me to turn the pages, neglecting to do, you know, things that I thought were pertinent, and they're not. Because the most pertinent thing is growing and being dutiful and listening to the Holy Spirit. And that's what your writing made me do, is stop and reevaluate the things that we call tantamount and important. To me, this book, Winston and Wall Street, is about love. It touches the core of what a faith walk is all about, having a strong relationship with God and loving his people unconditionally, whether they're unkempt, whether they're drug addicts or whatever. It's not about going to a big church, having a popular pastor or a new wave view, or dressing in, off of Sunset Boulevard clothes and standing around posturing at a mega church looking like Sodom and Gomorrah. No, it's about what you did going into the street and touching people. Through each page, I was taking on a journey of caring and feeling. As the book unfolds, you compel the reader to unfold within themselves, step out of ourselves, and realize that we must do more than talk the talk and walk the walk. We must become involved and stop looking with blinders at people who shock our comfort zone. The book forced me to stop looking down and looking away and realize there but for the grace of God go I, and not count them off, as someone said in the last presidential election, the 47% of our nation looking for handouts. We're all looking for handouts. We don't accomplish anything, as you pointed out so gracefully, except through the grace of God.
Susie, how long have you known Charles?
I know. It seems like since, Charles, you've read my books, that you have become a part of my life because you know so much about me. And the book, Winston and Wall Street Journals, it's named after the streets that we ministered on, the corner of Winston and Wall Street. And it was my journal as I started going to the streets for the homeless, and I journaled it, not realizing it would become a book. And so that's why it has so much feeling in it, is because they were actual true accounts of what happened, which is what happens in all three of my books, because I'm using true accounts of actual things that happened in my life on a day-to-day basis. And so Charles is reading that, and a lot of people who've told me they can't look at the homeless the same after reading the book, which is the goal, that people would start looking outside of themselves at another human being and look at their heart instead of their cover, because we do judge a book by its cover in today's society, and that is not God's plan. And so my mentor, I say, in life is Jesus Christ, and in the flesh it was Sister Teresa, because Mother Teresa, they call her, because she had such compassion, and I want to be like that. I want to have compassion for people. So in the third book, I write about my life and how I became the person I am today and what I had to go through in the story. And Charles reflected on a poem that I had wrote and that I had sent him when we were talking about writing. And the poem was When the Fire Quits Burning. And it was a poem that I had written in the midst of my pain in my last marriage, because the fire was going out. And I'll just take a minute and read the poem to the audience. It's called When the Fire Quit Burning. I saw the fire starting to go out, and I looked around for wood and paper and found none in sight. I saw the fire start to crackle and starve for air, blew and waved and shouted, "Stay!" I saw the fire dim with a faint glow, and I was starting to feel cold, oh, so cold. I saw the ashes start to pile and the embers die, each one. I took off my shirt and I threw it in. I saw the fire beaming bright with a warmth and friendly glow. I saw what I had missed and wanted more, and just once wished once more. I saw the fire light going dim, way dim. I saw the friend and a love I once had getting slim. I saw the fire, but a spark still left, and I took off yet another shirt before all was lost. I saw the fire warm and lovely and peeling off soft heat upon my face. I saw the fire bringing grace and love to those so cold and unloved. I saw the raging flame, and then suddenly out it went. I saw it going, and I hurried. I tripped and hurried to take off my pants and beg for more time. I saw the lights went out and it was cold, so cold. I saw the fire return here, and I believe it burned for a time, and the fuel it needed, I realized, was a love that would never be, as it takes two to build a fire, and there was only me. And I thank you, Charles, for commenting on that, because it was deep within my heart that I was aching for it to work, knowing that it wouldn't.
But, you know, you're welcome, but you breathe truth and understanding, and your truth is raw and unedited. Whereas most people, most of us lie with the sin of omission. You do not. And that's what I love about your books, your writing, and your person. And I want to go on and say a few more things about Winston and Wall Street because it so moved me a lot. I made some notes, and I said, as the book takes us through the less desirable streets, or as we label them, we discover those less desirable people in their truth and honesty to be more desirable than the people in upscale neighborhoods with their wonderful houses and facades, which hide dark, hidden secrets that they dare not utter, secrets of abuse, mental, physical, and childhood abuse. You cut through these things with your words like a double-edged sword. I felt the joy and victory of many people as the supernatural birthing of the Church Without Walls brought hope to people who would otherwise be trapped in the grips of despair. I felt you feel joy as you help these people find God and hope through you, your street ministry, and how God was and is using you. I felt the struggles you were having with a marriage coming apart, as you often wondered how your husband felt and how he would react as you would look into space, seeing visions given to you by the indwelling Holy Spirit, visions other people could not see or feel, but only could feel a sense of envy, because there was a burning glow that the Lord was filling you with. Also in this book, I could glimpse in retrospect after reading Journey to My Father's Palace how the experiences you had growing up helped you minister to other abused women. Through shared experiences, they came to you in trust because their spirits intermingled with your spirits, and your spirit was wounded, their spirit was wounded, and they could feel free to trust you, and together you heal each other one stripe at a time. I could go on about this book, but there isn't enough time. But in closing, I was touched by the mission work you did on the streets, because from time to time, my father was on the streets, living in shelters, staying at the midnight mission, for he had a great drinking problem. And that's why Winston and Wall Street touched me.
I don't think you told me about that, Charles.
No, I don't even think I remember it sometimes. Again, see, we succumb to denial, and I push it down like many people push distasteful things in the back of their minds.
Hmm.
But see, that's what your writing does. It allows people to become less fearful, become more courageous, and delve into the darkness and allow the light to shine in to dispel it.
And it's something I could only have gotten from the Holy Spirit, because I of myself, I want to point out, can do nothing. I am this way because God so chose me as his daughter to do this work, and he equips us when we allow God to change us. And so because I had gone through so much abuse, I can see that in other people, and I am so loving in my nature that I just hold my hand out. I don't even have to ask them. They just know that they're going to tell me their story, which is why we're doing the show, so that people can feel free, if they're stuck, to call in and talk about it in an area where people don't even know who they are. This is not a face-to-face interview. We're all on the radio, and people can call in anonymous, and we can minister through Jesus Christ to these people and get them help in the physical world because we have resources. And the same with Maria.
Exactly. And that's why we're all here. And your next guest is on. We'll take a station identification and we will be right back with your next guest, Stacy Goes. And I'm not sure, Charles, if you're going to stay on, but if you, whether you do or whether you don't, I really believe, Susan, that you need to bring Charles back onto another show. So we'll take one
Absolutely.
Moment. We will be right back after this station identification.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlor Limited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
And we are back, the advocate with Susan, and we have our special guest, Charles, and you have another guest, Susan. So go ahead, finish up with Charles and take it from there.
Charles, is there anything else that you want to give our viewers to encourage them to buy any of the three books or all three?
I would say that in buying all three of the books, especially Journey to My Father's Palace, that is a must because it's raw, it's honest, and I couldn't put it down. Some people will read it and say, oh, no, I can't go through with this, because what it does is it touches the things that most of us hide inside. And if they read it through to the end, it unlocks keys that allows people to reach down and free themselves from the abuse and the grip of it and break the cycle. So I urge each and every person to buy the books, read them chronologically, and be free from the valley to move up to the mountaintop where your light is shining down, helping them find their footsteps to freedom. And those are my closing words. I have many, many words on my father's place. I want to come back and talk to you about that because it's valuable. And thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much, Charles. And I enjoy speaking with you and look forward to many conversations in the future. God bless you, Charles.
God bless you, and I'm going to listen to everything else that's being said on this half hour.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Charles. And yes, I definitely want to have Susan bring you back on because there's so much about what you just said that I want to touch on in more detail. So thank you again so much. And again, Susan, there you go. It's all yours.
And do we have Stacy?
There she is. Go ahead, Stacy.
Hello, Suzanne.
Oh, hi, Stacy.
How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Now, you're in Florida, right?
That's right. I'm in beautiful Florida. Uh-huh. I'm not far away from Tampa, between Tampa and Miami. And I'm overjoyed to be asked to discuss your book that I finished most recently, The Journey to My Father's Palace. And more importantly, it's a joy to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Why don't you tell our listeners how we met?
Well, at a women's conference called the Braveheart Women, we were both attending the conference, and we just seemed to collide into one another as we were both contemplating the idea of sharing our successes at the Braveheart Women Convention. And you and I were both considering sharing our gifts that we had gotten from the convention itself, and that's how we struck up our conversation. And I watched you for your whole interview, and after you had done your interview and I watched two other people go before me, I had the courage to go ahead and do an interview on camera because I was a little bit camera shy. But after that had happened, I wanted to compliment you on your bravery in the camera interview that you did. You're very eloquent. You handled yourself very professionally with grace and dignity and style. And so as we started discussing the camera fears that we both had, we just seemed to click and hit it off right away. I mean, I feel very comfortable in sharing that with your radio guests. And I'm an artist, and you, by all means, I feel, are also an artist in many ways, too. So would you like to interject some more on how we met?
Well, actually, we met the night before that camera interview. I had walked over to your booth where you were displaying this amazing area of artwork that you had, and you had a poster board that you had pastel markers. You were letting people put their impression, almost like a prophetic painting going on. And I just was standing there watching it, and that's when I first met you.
Yes, that is very true, and the reason why that's kind of a distant memory in my mind is because when I'm doing these public art projects, I get so enthralled in the art project and inspiring other people simply to be creative that I kind of forget where I am sometimes. So I do remember that, and that was a lovely, lovely time meeting you then on that night. And on the next day, I believe it was, you actually added to the canvas upon our leaving, as I recall.
Right. I wrote on your canvas. I wrote, "Hope spelled backwards is every prayer opens heaven," and then we discussed
that. Isn't that beautiful?
That.
Isn't that beautiful? You are so inspiring. Your book is amazing. You are a true inspiration and a lady of total dignity and grace, and I have so much respect and admiration for you sharing your story in the bold, honest, most forgiving way that I really, really am so grateful that I couldn't put the book down. I mean, it's a book that can help people in recovery. It's a book that can help people who have spouses that have alcohol or drug problems. It can help abuse people. I mean, it's incredible, your writing style and your real depiction of your life and how you started as a child going into your adult life, how you just, your defiance stepped in and you became just so savvy and strong, and I know it's your faith in Christ that really is the catalyst to getting you through all these things and building people's faith also. Your book does that, I'm sure, as it has with me in reading it.
Stacey, this is Maria. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
You said that she wrote in a very forgiving way. Can you kind of share with the audience what made you choose that word, forgiving, and why you think she wrote in that kind of way and what that really means?
Well, I think it is to empower others that her own desires to live her own life and not fall into the degrading level to where these abusers were trying to get her to be. She never had to fall so far down to lose herself to be able to. I think the reason why she wrote it in a forgiving way is because she forgave herself, because she didn't understand any of the behavior that was going on with her for so long. That
exactly.
I think she's so intelligent that she couldn't rationalize that type of behavior happening to her. And it was such a, it's almost like a pipe dream that she's even been in these situations, because by knowing her and talking with her and seeing her, she's just so full of grace and strength, and she clearly defines that something that helped her heal was forgiving others for their abusive behavior. And to be able to heal, she confirmed later on in the book that it truly was that her faith and forgiving people is the catalyst to her positive change and being steadfast and true to herself. So I think the message is very very, very important how she can empower other people is with her story, being strong, not, even though she didn't understand the behaviors that were happening to her on a consistent basis, she always tried new avenues to better herself, continuing on with school. You know, I love that statement, you know, if I quit, he will win. You know, that's kind of the conclusion of that answer. I mean, I think forgiveness is a hugely healing attribute to her abilities to be successful. And monetary or spiritual success, I mean, I'm talking about success as an individual human being success. So there's your answer. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can hear you. What an amazing testimony. No. I'm in awe. Susan, how do you feel about what you're hearing?
I'm honored that so many nice things are being said about the book, because that was the impact I wanted it to have. Because when you reverse the assignment on your life, when this happens, when this kind of reaction happens, that means the message is going out and that the devil did not win in doing what happened to me in my life. Because every single person, even a 90-year-old woman, read my book, and I was just a little bit nervous because there are some avenues in the book that are a little uncomfortable to have everybody read, especially a 90-year-old. And she was so loving to say to me that she just was amazed how I navigated through it. And I think sometimes we think when people are older that they're not going to understand us, but they went through the same ages and differences and journeys that we do, and they understand more. So it was appealing to her to read and to say, you know, she admired my courage. So when I hear Stacy say it, it just exemplifies the beauty of women appreciating one another. And in fact, Stacy, I brought her to a fellowship before she left to go back to Florida. And on the way there, she received a call from her friend who was struggling with wanting to drink and stuff. And why don't you tell Stacy what happened in the car on the way there?
Well, I thought that was really a very sweet suggestion in inviting me to the Bible study, which I thought was going to be, you know, an average Bible study, you know, with a book in hand and reading several verses and on our way to an unknown place and trusting Susan and liking her very much. I felt safe and comfortable in her car, and I got a call from a girl I've been trying to help through some very serious struggles. Actually, I've come across several different situations where I have helped women get to women's shelters and to access facilities for their own abuse issues. I have been networking with I've seen so much. I've seen my best friend get abducted and almost killed in California. I've seen a lot of physical abuse happen to people around me, and it's been a real plight of mine that when I see somebody suffering from any type of abuse, verbal, physical, mental, spiritual, any of it, I know about a lot of resources to send women to go get help for themselves. And this one gal who called, she had an issue with possibly going to jail if she didn't quit drinking, and had done some things with her own drunken behavior that she very much regretted. And I told her, well, she could call me anytime if she needed help, if she wanted to stay sober. And she called when we were on our way to the Bible study. And Susan asked, well, would she like me to pray for her? So I asked my friend, would you like my friend Susan to pray for you? And she has faith, but not that much faith. And Susan spoke to her and prayed for her for about three straight minutes or four maybe. And I think I texted this to you, Susan, that the next day when I arrived from California into Florida, I was at a restaurant, and who walked in? My friend, who you just prayed for. Out of 5,825 people in the town where I live, here comes my friend who you just spoke to the night before, who's very seldom in this area, actually, because she travels so much. So wow. it was really a godlike situation, and she told me how much that helped her. By the way, I've not told you this, but she said that your prayers really helped change her life. And I do. I mean, I don't like to talk about what I do for other people and helping them, but in reading your book, everybody who I know could at least know one person who's been in an abusive situation, either involving alcohol or drugs, both. Not even alcohol and drugs, just psychotic behavior. So I really do feel there's a need for your story to be told. I think it would make a great movie. I would like to enter a business deal with you, because I've also got quite a few inventions that I haven't brought to the market yet. And I was going to ask you that question, if you ever did bring that product to the market, the high cure idea that you had.
Yes,
that's a question for you.
And I had told Stacy, at the end of the book, I file a lawsuit against the devil. And I asked God for the maximum compensation ever given, awarded in the kingdom for what has happened to me. And I asked for everything that was stolen from me. And 3 days after I wrote that, an invention that I have patented, 1994, I had actually submitted to a company in 1997. They call me on the phone, and they want to talk to me. And so everything that has been stolen from me is coming back. Everything that has been done to me is being reversed. And I'm taking back my life. But more than that, I'm helping other women and men and children get back their life, because this is not about me. What God did to me was empower me to be able to be the advocate and share with others and bring me into a place where I meet Maria, who's doing the show, who can help other women also with her work that she's doing, so that we can get the message out there. And we're encouraging those listening, if you have someone who's in a domestic violence relationship, you're worried about them, encourage them to call in anonymous. They don't have to use their real name. And we can talk to them and get them help, because honestly, if they read the book, they will see a life that nobody wanted to live. I did not want to be Susan Shengazar, which is why I took back my maiden name, because today I'm proud to be that girl, because I came through the fire just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I don't smell like smoke. So God is real. And that's what Stacy witnessed when she came to Bible study, because she got prayed for and she felt the Holy Spirit there. And there is nothing on earth that can imitate that. Isn't that right, Stacy?
That is so right. And I went off on a whole nother direction, and instead of answering the question about the Bible, well, the call that came in, of course, on the way to the Bible
study. That's okay.
But
we're just sharing.
It was so
we're
fun.
Just sharing here.
It was fun to sing and to dance and to, you know, bang on my legs for music. And, I mean, it was certainly not a typical, what I was thinking, Bible study. I mean, it was so filled with music and life and energy and upbeat singing. And it was just very empowering. It was really, really nice. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again. I know we're going to see each other soon, whether it's on the East Coast or the West, the North or the South. We're gonna get together again soon. And my contribution to this radio show is only a sample of what people can get on their own. If they read your book, they can help other people with that book. In fact, I'd like to buy quite a few more of them and hand them out. There's three people right off the bat that I'd like to give your book to that I can think of right now, currently, who are going through terrible times. I mean, a lot of people have been suffering, especially with the economic downturns in our country. Divorce is on a huge incline, even more so than it was 10 years ago. And we can, you know, pull together spiritually and try to bring up the morale of people who are suffering in dire situations. I mean, I've seen it. I know what you've been through, and you just inspire me so much. I'm looking forward to reading your two other books, in fact.
Now,
I'm making time to do that. I'm making time.
Are you?
Specifically to read your books, and I have about 400 in my library that I still have to read. So
I'm so honored. I'm so honored.
This is so amazing for you, Susan, and you have about three minutes now. I would love for you to share with our audience before you go ahead and close, and I'm going to play Becky's A Heart for Worship's opening song, Shackles, because you, Stacy, have inspired me to really make sure that you listen to this, our closing songs. And Charles, I did put you back. Your mic is hot again. And Susan, why don't you go ahead and share with the audience where they can get a hold of you, the names of your books, and say goodbye to both Charles and Stacy, and thank you both for being on the show today. And you have about 2.5 minutes.
My pleasure. It was wonderful hearing you, Stacy.
Thank you. It was an honor to be on your show, Susan, and you too, Charles. It was great to hear you.
Thank you.
My love to both of you. You can find my books, The Anointing of Mercy, I'll Meet You at Winston and Wall Street Journals, Journey to My Father's Palace. You can get these books at ZulonBooks.com, AmazonBooks.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can also get them at SafePassageLives.org. And also, Christmas is coming. They make a great gift for a nurse, anybody who is doing mission and leadership and street ministries, anybody involved in domestic violence. And also take a look at the Rebecca Lawler Limited Hearts that she designed. And that is www.heart4e.com. So take a look at those. I'm honored that you two came on the show to tell the listeners about the books. And there's so much more happening with these books and the fact that the one story is going to be made into a movie. And we will tell you more about that in the future. I want you guys to listen to this song coming up. And thank you so much for tuning in to The Advocate with Susan Shengazar. And encourage people to call in and share their story with us.
Susan,
thank
what
you.
Wow. Susan, what an amazing first show, and I'm excited. Thank you so much for choosing Soul Sister Radio and Soul Sister Enterprise, and how really this is a for international ministry, and because we are a force to promote action. And it is a pleasure having you on this team, because together everyone achieves more. Charles, thank you so much for joining Susan today. And Stacy, thank you so much for being so passionate about this particular cause. Because we are all here for a purpose. So Susan, congratulations for launching your new show. Let's take the shackles off, my sister. And let's get up and dance. And here we go, Shackles, and we will see you next time with The Advocate on Soul Sister Radio.
God bless you.
Sure is hot out here. You know, I don't mind, though. I'm glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
Soul Sister.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Radio.